welcome you in this place. We recognize, Holy Spirit, that we are nothing. We are nothing without you. We are nothing without you, God. We are nothing without you, Jesus. We recognize that we have not our being. We cannot operate, God, without your presence, Lord. Father, we hunger for more. We say more, God. More of you, Father. More of you, of your presence, God. More of your glory. More of your power, Lord. We will not be satisfied, Lord, with the mere trickle of water, Father. We want the river, Lord. Come on, church. We want the river, Father. We want to be submerged, God. We want to be immersed in your presence. We want to be immersed in your power, God. We want to be immersed in your glory, Father. Take us deeper, God. We want more, Father. That's all that my heart desires. That's all that our heart desires, God. We recognize that without the Spirit, God, without your presence, awakening is not possible, Lord. Awakening is not possible, Father, by our strength, God, but by you, Father. Lord, make us willing vessels, Lord. God, make us willing vessels, Father, to be able to do what you have purposed us to do, Lord. Father, we will protect, God, what you have began, Lord. There is no man can stop what is going on, Father, what you have purposed for this body of believers, Lord. Father, let us realize, let us recognize, God, that what you have stirred up, the fire that you have begun in this place, Lord, is not just for us, Father. Father, I pray you saturate our community, God, with your presence, Lord. Father, I pray you saturate the government, Father, the city government, Father, the mayor's office, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. Father, I pray for signs and wonders and miracles to go forth, Lord, from this place, God. You have called us to go, Lord, and simply preach the gospel, God. And you said we would operate in power, God. You said we would operate in signs and wonders. You said that you would confirm your word, Father, as we release it, God. Lord, let our words from this pulpit, Lord, let our words, God, be as fire, Lord. Let it be as fire, God. Let it consume our community, Father. Let it consume our community, Lord. Father, let us be a beacon. Let us be a light of hope. Let us be a light of awakening, Father, for this dark world, God. For the darkness, Lord, the dark areas, God, in our community, Father. Open the eyes, Lord, of the prostitute, God. Open the eyes of the drug dealer, Father. Spirit of God, we know that our mere words are nothing, God. Our mere words are nothing, Father. Spirit of God, it is you who arrests the heart. It is you who pricks the heart of mankind. It is you who draws man unto Jesus Christ. Father, come. We need your Spirit, Lord. More than anything, we need your Spirit, God. For it is your Spirit that reminds us of what Jesus Christ has said. It is your Spirit that reminds us of what Christ has commanded. Let us surrender all to you, Lord. Let us surrender all to you, Father. Let us be willing to go, Lord. Use us as vessels, Father. Lord, I pray even now, God, that the gifts of the Spirit may begin to be released in this place, Lord. Release, Father, the gifts of the Spirit to those who desire it, God. Those that may be wondering, what is my purpose? Those that may be wondering, what is my calling? Those that may be wondering, why do I feel like I'm stuck? God, it is in the context of worship, Lord, that we receive our assignment, God, that we receive our purpose, Lord. Release the gifts, God. Release the gifts, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to what you are desiring to do. We say yes, Spirit of God. We hear your beckoning. We hear your call. And we will be attentive to it, God. In the name of Jesus. I'm not going to apologize for that, but I've just been carrying that all day. My mind has been all over. My mind has been all over. And I've been just focused on awakening. God, that's what's been stirring in my heart. That's what my passion is. My passion is awakening. My passion is to pray awakening. I was speaking to the young kids last Wednesday, and I said, you know what? I said, not everybody is called to hold a microphone. Not everybody is called to preach behind a pulpit. Not everybody is called to be an evangelist, to be a minister, but each and every one of us has a part in what the awakening that God has begun. And that's one thing that I want to mention to you today, that we need to focus. And if you don't know, if you don't know what your purpose and your calling is and the awakening that God has started, I pray that by the time you leave this place, you'll know exactly what. Because awakening is not simply a preacher standing up here. It's not simply, awakening is not something that is that the pastor is in charge of. Something that falls to the leadership of the church. When God begins a movement, when God begins to burn and show His glory in a certain place, it's up to the body of Jesus Christ, specifically the body of believers in which the fire is burning, to pull together and cultivate what God is doing. It's a vital, vital importance. So, the one thing I do not want to see is us be like, yes, you know, yes, praise the Lord, hallelujah, awakening has started. Yeah, awakening is here, and that's it. And that's it, that's where you stay. That's where you stay. Oh, yeah, yeah, man, high five, awakening's here. Yeah, what do I do? What do I do? Where do I go from here? Where do I go from here? What am I supposed to do? I hear the ministers preaching about divine alignment. I hear the ministers preaching about reformation. Without reformation, awakening is not sustainable. I hear about that, but what do I do? Where do I start? What is my specific calling? I can't sit here in these pews and I can leave it up to the preacher. I can leave it up to the worship team. I can leave it up to those of us that gather together Sunday, every second or two Sundays out of the month, and Sunday morning before service to begin to release the sound of awakening from where we're at. I can leave it to them and just go nowhere from there. And that's one thing that I want to avoid. I want us as a body to avoid, because what God is doing is much, much greater than what we can imagine. Much, much greater than what we can imagine. I don't know what your thought about revival is. I don't know what your thought about awakening is. But you know what? It's probably not what God is expecting. It's probably not what God has anticipated for this area. The revival. Whenever we say revival, people think it's a gathering of, you know, of your local church body for 5 days out of the week. A preacher every day. Let's go real quick to what Jesus says awakening is. If you want to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. We have 50 days from last Sunday until Pentecost. I love Pentecost. Because that was the day that the church was endued with power. That was the day that the church was endued with power in such a way that they basically turned the known world upside down with what Jesus endued to them. But what I'm more focused on is what happened in those 50 days. From the moment that Jesus resurrected to the moment He said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high." They were gathered in the upper room once again in the context of worship when the Holy Ghost came. Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 17, well, let's go verse 15. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Bam. That is the definition of awakening. Souls. Souls for Jesus Christ. If I could think about a picture of awakening, I would think about somebody who's laying in bed. That's the best example that Elder Germaine Brunson gave to us just a few weeks ago. And all of a sudden, an alarm clock ringing, and they get up. That is what happens whenever Jesus resurrected. I got so excited when I told Pastor, man, Easter's coming up, and I love Easter. You know, Jesus Christ was awakening in a time when there was darkness, in a time where a word of God had not been given. Jesus comes on the scene and just smacks everybody in the face, and he turns everything upside down. And I said, you know what the awesome part was? And he's like, what? I said, Jesus secured awakening when he walked out that tomb. Jesus secured awakening when he walked out that tomb. They tried to censor his voice. They tried to shut him up. The enemy killed him, but Jesus rose from the dead with resurrection power. So if Jesus is awakening and he had resurrection power, then resurrection power is awakening. And that power is within us. That power is within. The Bible says the same power that raised Christ from the dead is within me. And that's why I constantly say, you're an agent of awakening, and you're an agent of awakening, and you're an agent of awakening, and your words are as fire, and you go out into your job, you go out into your school, heck, you even go into your house and tell these kids the glory of Jesus Christ. Because awakening has been placed within you for a specific purpose. An awakening in the eyes of Jesus Christ is Mark 16. He said, go and you preach. Preach the gospel of salvation. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what happens? Those who believe, they will receive gifts. They will receive authority. They will receive power. Therefore, you have awakening. You receive it, you're resurrected, and then the spiritual gifts of the Spirit are given to you. And most people say, well, you know, I don't know what mine is. You know what? I recommend you highly begin to pray and ask the Lord, what are my spirits? Because they are, what are my, not my spirits, oh Lord, help you if you have spirits. What are the gifts that you have given me? Because they are vitally important to awakening. Lord Jesus, a super sucker full of anointing oil for God's Spirit. Praise the Lord. The gifts of the Spirit are vitally important to awakening. Vitally important to awakening. You have exhortation. You have the gift of prophecy. You have the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. In the Antioch church in Acts 13, those were in full operation. Those gifts were in full operation as well in the church of Corinthians. That's what we get where Paul lined them out what they were. So we receive power to tread upon the serpent, to tread upon the scorpion. We can drink poison, which I don't recommend it, but if you did, you better have some faith that you're going to be okay and that you shall not be hurt. Let's turn quick to Acts 13. I don't want awakening just to simply become a word that's just thrown around. Oh, awakening. Oh, yeah, man, we're in awakening and we don't even know what it is. Awakening, let's make awakening should become from a word to a desire to see our community just saturated with God's presence. Just saturated with God's presence. My eyes just were full of tears. Last Sunday morning, we saw that one video. And to see that a 12-year-old girl, if she was 12 years old, I don't know how old she was, to stand up boldly in front of 200 students in a public school and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, He is risen. Jesus Christ is risen. You can't tell me that's not awakening. You can't tell me that is not God beginning to move into this generation. You can't tell me that's not Joel chapter 2. Your sons and daughters should prophesy. What that girl was doing was exhorting. She was prophesying. She was declaring the word of God to her generation, saying, regardless of what we're taught in school, regardless as ungodly as our government is, He has risen. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And He is soon to come. We cannot deny what God is doing in our midst. We cannot deny that God is active. And if we're not careful, we can jump off the train of what God's trying to do. Because either we don't know what we're supposed to do, Or we just throw it around like it's something normal. If I'm repeating myself what I'm saying, good. What I said for the last couple weeks, because that's what God is messing me up with right now. We should desire for our community to be saturated. Each one of us within this designated body has become an agent of awakening. But we need to be careful not to bring it to where God has called us to bring it by our own strength. Because you're going to find yourself tired, weary of trying to do it all by yourself. We need to begin to rely on the Spirit. On the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. I don't know if you've noticed, but when we begin to talk about Jesus Christ, when we begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we begin to say, you know what? He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified by Pilate. And he resurrected on the third day, and he is a soon coming king. When we begin to testify about Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God just loves that. He just loves that. And he begins to move. And when he begins to move, he begins to manifest healing. And he begins to manifest deliverance. And he begins to manifest the gifts of the Spirit. Because the Bible said that the word shall be confirmed through signs and wonders. We cannot get weary on our own accord and say, man, yeah, I want to jump on the whole thing about awakening, but I don't know how to do it. Or I feel like I'm tired of doing it by myself and I'm so weary. Nobody is into it. Nobody wants to listen. We need to be able to say, you know what, Spirit of God, you lead me where I'm supposed to go. You lead me where you want me to go. You lead me. You bring those people that I'm supposed to win to the Lord. Because when I begin to pray your perfect will, when I begin to pray your perfect will for my life, Lord, you lead those people that I'm supposed to minister to. You lead me those people that I'm supposed to witness the gospel of salvation to. It'll be as easy as butter. Because God's in it. Because God's in it. Let's begin to stir up what the Spirit is trying to do within us. So experiencing awakening results in receiving spiritual gifts and the grace to pursue spiritual disciplines. Let's look at something real quick. If you don't know what a spiritual discipline is, that's prayer. That's fasting. That's basically leaving something, just being away with the Lord. Not total isolation to where you're alone forever, but just getting away with God. Going up to a mountain for a couple hours. Leaving your cell phone at home. Leaving everything that takes your attention away from the Lord. And just being with God and seeking His face. That's one thing the Lord started pouring into me today. You know what? I'm about to grace you. I'm about to grace you. I'm about to grace your body with the ability to pursue spiritual discipline. The ability to pursue prayer, the ability to pursue fasting, the ability to pursue that which is contrary to what I'm trying to do in this world. Anything that has kept you away from me, I'm going to begin to remove out of the way strategically, and I'm going to give you the resolve to pursue me because God is trying to do something in this earth. God is trying to do something in our community. So basically, we'll go to Acts chapter 13. If I'm all over the place, I'm sorry. I'm just so excited for what God is trying to do, what God is doing. Acts 13, now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, whatever, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, worship, spiritual discipline, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then, when they had fasted and prayed, once again, spiritual disciplines, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there to sail to Cyprus. And when they had reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also had John as a helper. That's John Mark. And when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar-Jesus, or son of Joshua, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for thus his name is translated, was opposing them and seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was known as Paul, pay attention here, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness." I want to rebuke like that to somebody one day as the Spirit leads. "You son of the devil, you man that are against all righteousness, full of spirits." Just look at it. Oh, Lord. "Will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw that had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord." What am I trying to say there? It was in the context of worship. It was in the context of worship. After experiencing awakening, you know the story of Paul. Chasing Christians, a zealous Jew of the Pharisees, but had one moment of, he experienced one moment of divine awakening that changed for his life forever. He went into a spiritual discipline, and in the midst of worship, in the midst of ministering unto the Lord and fasting, the Spirit of God spoke and said, "Set them apart for my work. Set them apart for what I need to do, what I'm trying to do on this earth." What am I trying to say? If you feel, you know what, I'm stuck, I don't know what to do, I keep hearing about awakening, and I want to experience awakening so bad, but I don't know if it's a feeling, I don't know if it's just overcomes me. What is it? What is awakening? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do in what God is doing? It's in the midst of worship. It's in the midst of spiritual disciplines in your time outside of the church. Outside of the church where the Spirit of God begins to speak to you and say, "This is what I have set you apart for. This is the work in which I need you to begin to operate." And I fear and I believe that many people are walking outside of their calling. What God has called them to do. Each one of us has an important part to play in what God is doing in a certain spiritual gift that we're supposed to be operating in. Do you know what yours is? Do you know what yours is? I see exhortation and prophecy all over Jill when she's up there worshiping. I see servanthood in Brother Allen. I see that all over him. He understands the gifting. They understand the gift that they're supposed to be walking in. And each gift is necessary. It's just like, I mean, when I was little, I loved Power Rangers. It was my favorite show. And all of a sudden, they'd be by themselves, a little robotic animal. Mine was a T-Rex. I loved it. And all of a sudden, this small little monster would grow into the biggest, ginormous knockoff transformer that I have ever seen in my life. Just a big, big monster. And they knew that by themselves, they were not able to defeat the foe. Therefore, they did a little thing, and everybody came together and created a mechanism who was ultimately victorious against the foe. Each one had a different calling. Each one had a different purpose. Each one operated in different giftings. But when brought together, you are the biggest threat to the adversary. When you have one who prophesies, when you have one who enjoys to give to the work of the Lord, when you have one who enjoys servanthood, when you have one who enjoys just loving on people, when you have somebody who operates in the administrative gifts and enjoys sitting downstairs and getting the church finances together, the enemy hates that. The enemy hates that. Because they know that each gift, when brought together, is his defeat. We need to begin to ask the Lord, God, I know that you started awakening. I know that there is a fire burning in this place. I know that there is a beacon of light. There is a sound of awakening that's being released out of Bell County, Kentucky. What is my part? What is my part? I remember when I was in Bible college and I watched the Lakeland Revival. And I would just see people on, I see the altar workers in the front. I see people ministering, people worshiping. I saw people, you know, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the pulpit. But then I just saw nothing but spectators. Just spectators. Let me get fat. Let me get fed. Let me get my next touch from Jesus so I can go on. Let me see what this whole awakening is about. I want to see somebody's leg grow back. I want to see somebody walk. I want to see this. I want to see that. But the main purpose that they were there to minister unto the Lord and to thank Him that He chose to come down was nowhere to be found. Nothing but spectators, but no desire. No desire to protect the fire that God had begun. And that's why I ultimately believe the Lakeland Revival ended. It ended. I mean, I don't believe it just ended because the main preacher fell into sin. If somebody would accept their calling of praying for the man of God. If somebody would accept the gifting of wisdom or of discernment. They could have come up to me and be like, you know what, man, you need to chill. You need to relax. And this is what the Spirit of God has shown me. And if you continue on this path, you will end up in sin. That could have been a move of God that would have seen no end. But somebody dropped the ball somewhere. The enemy was able to come in and find a weak spot and bring it down. Awakening is always consisting in the context of worship. Awakening outside of the Spirit is not awakening. Because it's the Spirit of God that stirs up the heart of man. That's why you had Stephen, who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit and they were pricked to heart. In this same chapter, Paul, he begins to preach at the synagogue. And then he goes out to the Gentiles and he's full of the Holy Spirit. And he begins to preach that Jesus made a way for the Gentiles as well. And because the Jews were the one who rejected them, the Gentiles have been adopted into the family of God. And the Bible said that they rejoiced. And as many as were appointed to salvation were saved. And that's a lot of people because Jesus said, God, the Bible says for gospel of the world that he gave us and that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. I can just imagine him preaching in just a multitude of people. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people hearing the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ and hearing about hope. And then quickly in one moment awakening comes and they're saved. How else did the church grow? How else did the church grow in that time? If it wasn't through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and through awakening being stirred up in people's hearts, that they went to Ephesus and they started a church, that they went to Philippi and they started a church, that churches began to spring up every Roman possible city, that eventually, after decades and centuries of Roman emperors trying to eradicate Christianity, ultimately Christianity won. Because somebody got a hold of the vision of awakening. You have awakening, you have reformation, and ultimately you have a revolution. There's a changing of power structure over somebody's life whenever awakening comes. They're walking in sin, they're walking dead, they're walking lost, they're walking in the shadow of death, and then they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and life comes into them. And they receive power. They receive authority. And power structure change comes in their life. I no longer have to be bound. Devil, it's like Curtis was up here Sunday. He took his shoe off and began to show the enemy, you are under my feet. Because of Jesus Christ, because of what He did for me on the cross, I'm no longer a slave subject to you. You're subject to me. And people just can't get a hold of that. I don't know why. Do not know why. We need to protect what God has been doing in this place. We each have a specific purpose and a specific calling that He has called us to. Each one of us is a gear. Each one of us is a wheel. And we move together as a body. And we move together toward the purpose and the will that God has called us to. It is no longer about our Father's house. It is no longer about this church. That's one thing that I appreciate my pastor telling me all the time. Brandon, it's kingdom business. It's kingdom business. It's not about you. It's not about the worship team. It's not about who sings the best songs or who gets to play drums on Sunday or who gets to play the bass on Wednesday. It's how can I use my gifts and talents to bring glory to God? Somebody is in need of my gift when they come in through that door. Somebody comes in depressed and suicidal, bound to drugs, bound to sin, bound to pornography, and how dare my weaknesses and my own desires get in the way of their deliverance. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. Lord. It's kingdom business, church. It's kingdom business. We need a continuous dwelling in God's presence. That's where it's at. A continuance dwelling in God's presence. Just a desire for His presence each and every day. Because that's how we stay in the Spirit. And that's how we stay focused on what God has called us to do. Sometimes, I remember when I would drive a car and I would put some things on my rearview mirror. And it would just cause me to lose distractions when I was driving. Because it was just hanging right there. And I would just focus on the contraption that I had put on my rearview mirror. That's what we need when it comes to the Spirit of God. We need to hang God right in front of us that He may be what takes our vision from everything else. That we may be able to focus on Him. Because if we focus on Him, we will not stray into selfishness. We will not stray into what God has not called us into. We'll be focused into what God has purposed for us to complete for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are quick to accept awakening, but we are willing. Are we willing to labor for it? Are we willing? Are we willing to keep it, keep the fire burning? To keep the fire going. Throughout the week, from Monday to Sunday, I'm praying, Lord, show us something new that we have never seen before this Sunday. God, the worship in before Your throne is always new. What has kept the angels of God crying out, holy, holy, holy? The Lord is worthy for centuries. I believe they see something different of God each and every day. And we think we know who God is. I desire to see a new revelation of Him each and every Sunday. Because when I get a new revelation of who He is, a new form of worship comes out. And a new sound begins to leave my lips. And a new praise begins to exalt my God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's why when we were praying last Sunday and I saw Wanda come in, I was like, Lord, let a new sound be released from the worship team, God. Let a new sound be released from the worship team. Give them a new revelation of who You are. Give them a new sound, a new praise, a new exaltation, God, that will honor You. It all comes by having God before us. It all comes by us acknowledging that we need Jesus Christ, that without Him, that we need a continuous dwelling in His presence, because without Him, we are not anything. We are nothing. I've got to that point, church. And it's a form of surrender. I wake up in the mornings and the first thing out of my mouth, Lord, I'm nothing without You. I'm nothing without You, God. I acknowledge that I have no being without You, God. It is You who purposed me to wake up this morning and to have breath in these lungs. It is you who have called me to accomplish a certain will you have in this day. Show me what I am to do. Don't let me take the 24 hours that you have given me for granted and spend them on something that you haven't called me to. And I know we're busy, and I know we got jobs, and we have kids, and we have school, and I have work, and Katie has work, and we both are in school. I know we get busy, but in my busyness, I try my hardest to focus on Him and to say, God, the territory that my feet tread upon is mine because you have given it to me. Because you have given it to me. It's the Spirit that will continue to move, that will keep us in what we're currently in. That will keep us in what we're currently in. Let us be aware of what God has called us to do. The callings that God is trying to give us. Worship is not only there to exalt the name of God and to give Him glory, but worship is there to continue to have awakening, continue burn within us. It's like your gas station. It's like you prepare yourself as a sacrifice before the Lord when you open your arms in worship and you begin to exalt your name. And everywhere that you see that God came down, He came down as fire. When Moses was called, He came down as fire. When Elijah prayed and had a showdown with the prophets of Baal, He came down as fire. When Solomon had dedicated the temple, He came down as fire. So if I need to keep my fire burning, I need to get in the fire of God's presence as much as I can. I'm done. Daniel, do you mind coming and playing for me, brother? I've said what the Spirit of God has wanted me to say. And now we're going to pray. Now we're going to pray. If you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, if you don't know what your part is in this awakening that God has begun, and believe me, you may not see it, you may not feel it, you may not be able to identify it, but it's there. You know how I know? Because God, every time we have service, God chooses to just bless us with His presence. Just chooses to bless us with His glory. Every Sunday I look over from here where I'm standing over to that door and to see the kids that God has called me to reach with their arms open, crying and worshiping God. Some of them on the floor. That shows me that awakening has come. That awakening has reached even the youngest of our body here. When there is a child that was medically not supposed to be where they're at. When there's a child that was supposed to be a vegetable for the rest of their life, still with their face on the ground and their hands open in exaltation, honoring God, regardless of what people are saying, regardless of who is onlooking, and just standing there waving their arms as a wave offered into the Lord. You can't say God's not at work. That God's doing something in this place. They're being set on fire to win their generation to Jesus. To win their generation to the Lord. God is working with the remnant on this earth. When the world is taking 9 and 10 year old kids and they're becoming pregnant, killing one another, killing themselves because they're bullied, you have those that God has set apart for His work in the context of worship. Oh, how cute, he's lifting his arms. Oh, how cute. Look at him shedding a couple of tears. No. There's a nation that is waiting to be won to Jesus. There is governments who are to hear the word of the Lord and be subject to the authority of Jesus Christ through one of those childs worshiping. We see it so small. But God sees world changers. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we are nothing without you, God. We are nothing without you, Jesus. In you we move, in you we have our being. In you we have our identity. In you we have power, in you we have authority, God. It was your purpose to make us, Lord. Let us be just saturated in your presence, God. Let us dwell in your glory wherever we go. Let us be carriers of your presence, Father. Let us be carriers of your glory, for this world needs it, God. This world needs it, Lord. They need to hear of you, God, and you have purposed us to fulfill true awakening by calling the lost to Jesus. Spirit of God, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Remind us of what He has commanded us to accomplish. Holy Spirit, remind us of every word that He has said. Remind us of how He has called us to go and to make disciples of all the nations. Lord, I pray over this body in the name of Jesus that you may begin to reveal unto them what their calling is, God. In this season of awakening, God, that you have called us unto, we each have a purpose that we are to accomplish, God. We each have giftings that we are supposed to be operating in, Lord. God, begin to reveal to the minds, begin to reveal to the hearts, God. Remove the scales, remove fear, God. Remove doubt, Lord, of what you have called us to, God. I just feel the Spirit of the Lord saying He's beginning to remind you of the gifts that you're supposed to be operating in. And there is a boldness coming upon you to begin to prophesy when you hear the Spirit of the Lord say, go to this person, go to that person, and pour my heart unto them. Doubt will no longer be part of you. Doubt will no longer be part of you. God is calling some of you to go further in prayer, to go further in fasting. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to come upon you suddenly. Suddenly. God is releasing the gifts of the Spirit. You are called to be a discipler at your job, at your school, at your house. You are called to bring the glory of God wherever you go. Father, I pray that as they begin to seek you, Lord, you answer quickly, God. You answer quickly, God. I pray that it may not be days or weeks, Father, that they wait for an answer, but the same moment, God, that they open their mouths, Lord, that you will begin to speak to them, Lord. And we promise to honor you, God, and to give you all the glory, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord. Help us, God. Help us operate, Lord. Give us a resolve, Lord. Give us a grace to pursue the gift that you have called us into, Lord. The gift that you have called us to win the people for Jesus Christ, Lord. You said that your word would be confirmed through signs and through wonders, God. That is how people will know that Jesus Christ is the only living Son of God. That is how they will know that there is no other God but Jehovah. There is no other God but Elohim. Let us be receptive to the word that was released today, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
The altar's open for those who want to come. If you need prayer, we're here to pray for you. If you don't have a need, or if you don't need to pray, let's just bless one another in this presence that God is here. In the honor of God's presence, we'll end the service here, and we'll just go about our day. And I pray that God may visit you in the middle of the night. I pray that God's presence may come into your room, may come into your job, may come into you when you're behind your desk at work or at school, that you will begin to feel a stirring up in your heart, that you will begin to feel a drawing in your heart, and you won't be able to help but just release the